all dialed in here. You know, I had a guy one time that said his motto was that he didn't get even, he got ahead. And I think that's a good motto myself. But I love Brother Harold, and he and I talk quite a bit. And he ministers to me, and I hope that I minister to him. There are times when, you know, things are going on in the church, and you need to call somebody. Every Monday morning, he's my, you know, all that kind of stuff, Eddie, if you will. I love him to death. He's a good Monday morning. I thank him for allowing me the opportunity to come and speak this morning. I want to thank Lee Creek. My goodness, you folks just don't realize what you're doing. I just don't think you understand what you're doing. I want to thank the brothers that has preached before me that has tenderized my heart. You just don't. Touched me, and I appreciate it. You just don't know. 89:7 says, thank you. Thanks be to God, who is greatly to be feared in the assembling of the saints. I want you to know this morning that I come to you in fear and trembling to stand before you to preach his word. I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. I want to preach on a topic I'd ever hear that is very conference, and after I preach it, you might ever hear this back at another conference. But that's okay, because he just said, preach the whole council, and it's in the Bible, and we're going to preach it. In 1992, God picked me up out of a slimy pit and placed my feet on a rock. I didn't understand all of what was going on as a young man, but I remember my past still floating around in Brother Carol Norman somewhere. The main point of the message was that he preached a message, and his topic was tolerance. And in 1992, he proclaimed that tolerance was going to kill the Southern Baptist Convention. And you can call it prophetic, you can call it what you want to, but I think it is prophetic. Justin Peters' video. Opportunity to see a video. Y'all know Justin Peters, and I like Peters, but you know when one of his videos pops up on your YouTube channel, you know what you're going to get. And this issue of tolerance came into my mind as he showed us this video. One of our so-called flagship, I say ours, I'm not interested in this on the Baptist Convention, I'll just be honest with you. But anyway, I think they much on the thing. But he showed a video. I'm not going to pick on him too much, Alan. I understand that you're the resident SBC guy. But anyway, this is why I flushed the handle on him. That's why I flushed him a long time ago. I hate to use that word, but it's true. And you're going to find out that I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to tell you about it. If it's offending to God, this video out. Our so-called flagship, anyway, in Atlanta, that has these satellite churches off of it, and I won't say his name, but his daddy's name is Charles Stanley. And this video comes on, and his daddy ought to be ashamed of him. But anyway, this video comes on, and it shows this gay guy happy that he was this homosexual, a Southern, and he's all that he went, they were going to baptize him into the congregation of this church. And they did. A woman baptized him. Justin Peters laid all out and showed all this. Now, brothers, I want to ask you something this morning. Does the Bible not say that homosexuality is just an abomination? Over to, I want to show you something. Just a couple of pages. Look at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves of God, covetous, nor drunkards, nor reviled something this morning. Will in the world can you order God? practicing homosexual or baptize a practicing homosexual into the membership of your church. And I want you to notice that passage of Scripture, that little list right there, is bracketed top and bottom. These will not inherit the kingdom of God. How in the world can a Southern Baptist church go against the Word of God? Earl Norman told us in that came to pass. It's coming to pass. How in the world, answer me something. How can a woman be the husband of one wife? Yet we've got a church out in California that's ordaining women as pastors. How can it be? Tolerance. Brothers, do we care if Christ will be Jesus Christ? Do we care enough about the care of Jesus Christ to take action when something goes on like happened at the church at Corinth? Read with me the first five verses of chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. It is actually reported that there was sexual immorality on top of that among you. And I want you to sexual immorality we just read. And such immorality as not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you're puffed up. And you have rather mourned that he has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed is absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged of our Lord our present, him are gathered together this deed. With my spirit, with our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Father God in heaven, what a touchy subject this is. What a hard subject this is this morning. And I ask you, God, to give me the Bible. Hide the way you want it preached. This morning, I ask you, God, to open the minds and the hearts of these brethren this morning that we may understand that this is something that is needful in our church today. Father, would you give us strength? Would you give us the ability and give us the fortitude, the intestinal fortitude to not talk about the things that are going on in Jesus Christ today? Nobody wants to talk about it. Amen. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody would consider doing it much. I've only seen it a few times. But I want to talk to you this morning about church discipline. It's something that we don't like. It's something that we don't want to do. Warren Worsby said it best, I think. He said this. He said, discipline is a forgotten man one another and in many churches. His flock, yet that the wandering ones are warned and disciplined for their own good. Brothers, I want to tell you something. We don't need to be about the business of going around and picking out the sins in our church because we're all sinners. I was reminded of that last night. But folks, when you've got blatant sin going on in a church like it's going on in Corinth, I'm talking about hitting her that somebody is going out of, and that's what this man is doing. Look what he's doing. He said there's sexual immorality among you that not even among the Gentiles, they don't do it. They're laughing at the church. Folks, can I tell you something this morning? I'm tired of Jesus getting dragged through the mud. I'm tired of the bride of Christ being dragged through the mud right here. Because we got spineless people. I know that's that won't do anything right here. Church, I have a situation that I'm dealing with right now that God is helping me immensely with. I'm going to tell you something. If you will decide that you're not going to stand for this kind of stuff, God will be on your side because His Word gives us the answer right here. Don't be afraid. And that's easy for me. Are we going to fear God? And I know that's easy. We're in this together. Whether we know it or not, we're all in this together. And we're not helping the church out when we don't deal with things like this. Notice there that this man had his father's wife. The Gentiles were going, can you believe what's going on down at the First Baptist Church of Corinth? Look at that mess that's going on. We bad. Do that. It's bad. Lost people don't even. It's really bad. But notice there that the church is puffed up. And rather than mourn about it, they're kind of, hey, can you believe what's going on there? They ought not to be laughing about it. They ought to be mourning about it. They ought to be crying about it. They ought to be asking God to help them get rid of it. But yet they're puffed up about it. Of its discipline is a correcting members of its members. Over and look what Paul says. He says, I'm not judging the world, but I'm judging this. That's the authority. The world's going to do what it wants to do. But the tolerance that we've committed in the Southern Baptist Convention and in our churches through the last 20 or 30 years, that tolerance has allowed the world to come into the church. I spent 10 years accepting it. I just left ago. The first thing that the DOM told me, we're going to send out a survey. I said, yeah, that's good. What are we going to put on the survey? We're going to ask the community what they want in a church. Folks, I've got a high school education, just like Harold. They were glad to see me leave at high school. My neck. I got a seminary degree. I couldn't believe a man at the hair. A man who had been trained up in the ways that they're supposed to be as preachers and pastors. I couldn't believe that man told me that he was interested in what the world wanted in the church. This is what God wants in the church. He doesn't care what the world thinks. But you see, we tolerate that kind of the church, and we go along with that test. If you use them, the next thing you know, to bring them in here, you church, and worldly methods to keep them in here. And that's what's wrong with the church. That's why we got the rock and roll shows and the light shows and the clowns and all that kind of stuff. Folks, this is church. What we're doing right here this weekend is church. This is what church ought to be. God's word and God lifted up, high, church today. Holy, holy. What does God see? Church today. What does he see when he looks at your church? Church discipline protects the church. Folks, I can hear it. I can smell somebody right now thinking, judge not, lest ye be judged. How many old women have come to me and said, Brother Gary, we're not supposed to judge anybody. I don't find that. It restores that walk with God, and that's ultimately what church discipline is all about. We don't want to kick nobody down the road. We don't want to send him over to Harold's church. He don't want him. I've got a guy that's trying to pawn a deacon off on me right now. I don't want him. I'm going to tell you something. I have not in my ministry, too many real deacons. There ain't many up among the church members, When you got somebody doing something and the whole church knows it, we're kind of, I can't believe he's doing that. But they're going along with it. They're puffed up about it. Jesus himself lays out the steps for us of church discipline, does he not? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 16. And I want to remind you of the parable. I go through these steps, sheep. Lays out for us, what is a sinner? What is one of the parable that's done this great deed, this evil deed at Corinth? Is he a lost sheep? He's among the brethren. They call him a brother. The nice thing about this brother gets right over in 2 Corinthians. You see, the discipline works. That's what God's telling us. That's why we ought not to be afraid of it. If it sends him down the road, brother, come by. You've gotten rid of a problem in the fellowship with God. The ultimate thing that we want to get right. That's what it's all about. Jesus said, go to the brother in private, and if he hears you, you've won a brother. What I found in my ministry, and you may as well, is if you start this process, you may not have to get to number four. You may go talk to him, and if he does not, just be told. This is with you. He hears you. The second thing, you're sorry deacons that you got. If he does not listen, with you. Huh? I'm not anti-deacon. I used to be one. I just ain't seen very many good ones. I'm just sorry. I mean, you know. Number three, if he still refuses, tell the matter to the entire church. Now we're getting serious here. You see, this is the process that the brethren at Corinth ought to have been following through. Number four, if he still refuses, he's to be put him out to holler a tax collector, Satan, put him out in the woods. I want you to notice that removal from the fellowship, brothers, I believe there's a spiritual umbrella among the fellowship. I can't explain it, but I believe there's some kind of protection in amongst the brethren. Does it not keep us in line, in a sense? I believe it does. Like I said, I think some of you thought that. Matthew 7:1, be there. We're not supposed to. But let me answer that Matthew chapter 7, or verse 1 with a scripture. In John 7, they were judging Jesus, you remember? You remember that? They said he had a demon. They judged his motive and his actions. And in verse 24, he said this, do not judge according. If we're going to but judge somebody with judgment, I'm sure that this right in here is right before we start doing that stuff. We need to make sure that we're right with God before we get into that mess. Righteous judgment. We got to use a moral and a theological discernment, somebody wrote. I don't want to plagiarize anybody, so I'm going to give somebody credit, but I don't remember his name. Folks, not a theological judgment. You'll know them by their... It's not all judgment. Remember? Righteous judgment is this. Whatever it is that we apply to the brother, we got to apply that to ourselves. Or in Bernie, Missouri language that my mom used to tell me when we lived there. If you've never been to Bernie, you ain't missing nothing. Sweep off. Get your own porch before you try to sweep. Before you try to get off. Brother's eye over there. Get that plant. See, there's a right way to do it. You try to get. If we do it all hateful, we've done it wrong. If we want to do it just to kick some guy down the road and get rid of him and send a deacon over to Harold's church and that way we don't have to put up with him, we've done it wrong. We've done it wrong. Brother. This has to be done in love. We're dealing with a brother here. We're not dealing with stuff. It's out in the world. It's a brother. Come on now. Up. Is anybody in? Hands go up. My goodness. Bunch of saints. Bunch of perfect saints in here. Must be true Baptists. Jesus said, remove that speck. Get that plank out of your eye before you remove the speck. In verse 3, Paul begins with that he's already judged. He already made a decision. Look in here. Paul has done. He's looked in his. We got somebody sin. That's where it's got to start. Look in here and make sure it's all. Look in here first. Before we go trying to clean his mess up. He'd already judged himself. And he'd applied the standards to himself and found himself able to judge this one. Righteous judgment. That's what it's got to be. Paul told him, before he gets there, he told him, he said, I can either come with a raw church or I can come with love. You problem. You're giving church. You need no black eye in Corinth. And folks, I'm tired of Jesus getting black eye. I'm tired of it. I've had enough. Paul already judged, and the act was so bad that he didn't waste any time. He got after it. Paul was their spiritual father. He had started this congregation. You remember he came and he went to the Jewish synagogue and he joined. I can't remember the guys that lived next to this church in this congregation that was a leader of the synagogue. Paul spent a year and a half. He joined up. Folks, he was their spiritual father. What was he judging? He was not judging the man's motives or even his ministry if he had one. He was judging his conduct. Something that the world can see. He had some rotten fruit. And that's what Paul was judging there. Verse 4, in his conduct. Verse 4 there. In the name of Jesus Christ. When you say that name, what's that mean to you? Holy, holy, holy. My bride will be spotless. Someday God is going to present the bride of Christ to Jesus, and it's going to be spotless. It's not going to be. It'll be pure. Here, while we're in it, it's not going to be pure in the flesh, but folks, not going to be. We can do a better job than what we're doing. Huh? He was their spiritual father, and he was judging them. It's got to be done in the name of Jesus, what he says. It's got to be done, number two, when the church is gathered. And it must be done in the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, if it's the name of Jesus, that's the power and the authority. We don't have no authority what the church needs to do. Apart from Christ, I'm the under-shepherd. I don't have no authority. I'm responsible for that flock and that congregation. You get some mess like this going on, guess who's responsible? Guess who's going to stand before Jesus someday and he's going to say, hey, how come you didn't church that guy? How come you didn't do, right here. Right here. We live in a day when it's somebody else to the broad. It's always, we can't be else's fault, but brothers, we got to get white as snow, but back to the bride of Christ. We better than what we're doing. We don't have to tolerate everything that the SBC tells us that it's okay. We've changed the music. We've changed this. We've changed that. Folks, do you not realize that that hymn book is full of theology? That hymn book is full of doctrine. And the church today is doctrinally starved. A whole lot. Average Baptist, Southern Baptist here, I just believe or why they believe it. A whole lot. They just know what some preacher that's wearing holes in his blue jeans and standing up here in a sports jacket with all the smoke and all the mirrors and all the other junk that's going on in the church. He's cool. He's hip. He told us this was okay. Them guys over in Atlanta should have come to that man instead of baptizing where it's the fellowship of the church would told him, came to that list on this list will where it says kingdom of God. You see, they've got it all backwards. Well, we just love all these people. We're just going to love everybody. Folks, God hates sin. And if you look at that list, look up the word abomination sometime. God says these things are an abomination. Buddy, that's bad. I'm just going to tell you, it's bad. And yet they're doing it. It's a slip. When you start here with this, and you can see it from 30 or 40 years back, Brother Carroll preached this message a long time ago, you can see we're on a downhill slide. And they wonder why the numbers are dropping. The numbers are dropping. You want a church anymore. They've stopped. Become a country club. That's this right here. Whatever you want to call it. What the brother said a while ago, preach the word. They've given up. They've used these worldly things to bring people into the church. And they've forgotten this. Brothers, we got to stay in this. And if it says that we got to discipline somebody in the church, we better be about the business of doing that. It's the name above all names, Jesus. The name, folks, the name that can heal a sinning Jesus. Do we not understand? I found in my ministry, folks, there's power. That for the most part, you can talk about God all you want to, but when you start talking about Jesus, people get uptight. The world gets uptight. You know why? Because it's the name above all names. It's the one who they're going to bow to. We're all going to bow to him. Some authority right there. The name. It's consistent with his holy person and his will, John MacArthur says. Holy, holy, holy. Folks, we got to be about the business of being holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. We're commanded to do that. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But if you're living in sin like this, we'd get us doing. And in the name of Acts 3:6, Peter told them, there's the power. He would give him what he had. Peter and John were in the name of Jesus 4:7. The Sanhedrin asked him, said, "By what power and what name have you done this?" Jesus! We got to preach it, brothers. That's where the power's at. Everything that we do as a church has to start with Jesus Christ. He's not the second after. He's not the other. And his works, let's go something different. Everything has to start in his name. Anything that we do begins with his name. I think here's the stamp of authority in view here. That's what Paul's showing us. His name speaks of his attributes. I've got A.W. Pink's Attributes of God on my desk, and I read one attribute every morning. Guess what the attribute was this morning? The holiness of God. You think God know what's going on in our... This brother preached on the holiness of God last night, and I get up and there it is. God's moving among us, brothers. He's powerful. He knows all things. Speaks of his attributes. It speaks of his holy character. Not only has this man drugged the church through the mud, but he drugged the name of Jesus. He's not damaged the church. This isn't very long. It's important that we deal with this. Of a church, not a one of us in, like Harold told, or been in it. Brothers, I had a deacon one time threaten to whip me and give me a cussing in the front door while I was talking to some visitors that had came to church that morning. Now, you see, if I'd have had my way about it, he wouldn't have been a deacon member very long. The second my way about it, he might not be a member to come together and do this. The second, we can't do it, brothers. We can't do it by ourselves. We can start it. We can get it going. But we can't do it. It's got to be done by the body. But notice there that Paul takes pastoral authority to lead the body to do its duty. They weren't going to do anything. Paul said, "I can't authority. If you hadn't already taken care of this at that time." So he played all, when I go authority in that. Who are these guys? Who are the elders? Who are the leadership in this church that's letting this go on? But we're not surprised because we see it in our day, don't we? We see things going on that nobody does anything about. It must be done by the body, not the pastor, not the church leadership, not the Sunday school teachers, not by any committees. It's it makes it done by the church. The church has your liberal wing. You know, you're going to have your lovers of Jesus. Jesus is just love, God's love. Listen, God's wrath too. And I would rather see this man get saved and get right with God than what else could happen to him. The church has the authority, but more importantly, it has the responsibility. Number three, he said, "I can't believe it." Jesus told them, not even Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Where's that throne at? High. Where's your power coming from? Where's the power in the church? Is it in the deacon body? Is it in the deacons? Is it in this again? Where's the power coming? It's 1:4-8. Power came in Acts chapter 2 and again mentioned lost. And you look at what went on there. Peter preached a little sermon and 3,000 souls got saved. I would say that was powerful, wouldn't you? Huh? They were gathered together in one accord. That's what the church has to do when you try to do church discipline. We all have to come together. We all understand that this is a great sin. Was laughing at these people. A black eye because not only were they was this going on, but at the same time they were going down and letting these immoral judges judge between the brethren. That's another sermon altogether. This church was messed up. Folks, I got to tell you, I've been in some messed up churches in my ministry. It's got to be got on high dealt with. I'll tell you something this morning. Church gets its power on high. Desperately need some power from on high in our churches today. We desperately need a touch from God. This is why these things are important. This is why we got to get right with God. This is why we got to pick the plank out of our eye before we can get the speck out of somebody else today. We need Jesus. We need Him bad. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:5 that there was a group that had a form of godliness but denied its power. I believe for the most part today that the church is lost. I believe that the church today has a form in their own room. I believe they're going through they're redoing and they're having fun with these type things to draw the world rules because it feels good. There ain't no power in it. There ain't no power in it. I wonder about these poor souls that are going to these places that claim they got saved. I talked to a young man not long ago that told me he was a minister in the Life Church. He's a minister. And you know what he told me? He said, I can marry people. He was all excited. They're ministry people. They give him a look. I know this young guest that made him. You know what's the minister? This young man's living with a girl. We used to call it shacking up. I don't know what they call it now. Because it's all crazy now. Ups down and downs up. And, you know, boys can be girls and girls can be boys. I can be whatever I say I want to be. That's how crazy the world is right now. And he had a. Folks, we're living. We are living. I listened to John MacArthur. One out before. And he had a message. Guys, we're going to talk about this man getting given over, being given over here in a little bit. But I want to tell you something right now. There are a bunch of people that God has given over, Romans chapter 1, to believe the lie. People, hey, we got people. We can't make up our minds what bathroom we want to go into. We're going to let the girls go into men's and the men's going to. If you make any sense, huh? It's okay. Look at the stupid stuff. If you, I don't make no sense. It's because we're living Romans chapter 1 today, right out before our very eyes. Jesus told the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 that if they didn't return to their first love, that they would remove their lampstand. That means He'd remove their power. Folks, the church today has lost its power. Because they've lost their love. That being He takes away, folks. I can tell you right now, somebody at your church used to say it best. God ain't going to bless a mess. God's not going to bless a mess. If you've got mess going on in your church, God's not going to bless it if you've got this stuff going on and you're not willing to deal with it. That's what He's saying there. Could it be that Christ has removed the lampstand from the church today? Could it be that we have a form of churchness with no power to tolerate? And could it be that the anything and everything, the church is failing in the name of Jesus? Paul said we have to do it in the name of Jesus and not our own. I'm going to have to hurry. I'm glad somebody left me a watch up here. Verse 5, what must be done and why must we do it? Look what he says there. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, Spirit may be saved in the verses. I want to put this Jesus into your thinking. I've already kind of put it in there a little bit. This verse suggests to me that there's some kind of spiritual protection amongst the brethren. I believe there's spiritual protection that we don't understand or we don't see, whatever you want to call it. But I believe that when we're gathered together, there's a protection. Brothers, I need you. I'm spiritual. Pray for me. They're going to take the spot that problem away from this one, and they're going to turn it to Satan to destroy his flesh. The Bible says, be sober, spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. He's out there. He's waiting to see who he can devour. Notice Paul begins with the word there, deliver. That means to give him over to the authority of another. Paul delivered him from the fellowship. Hymenaeus and Alimaeus to Satan in order that they may learn not to blaspheme in 1 Timothy 1:20. Again, have you read chapter 1 of Romans lately? God's given a bunch of people over. God allowed Satan to take Job. What did he do to him? Took everything he had away from him first. He gave him over. What did he do that for? I believe it ultimately it was for Job to see who God really was. The Bible says that the flesh profits nothing, brothers. The flesh describes the moral and the spiritual weakness and the helplessness of a human nature. And we've all gone there. And it's found even in the... By the way, there we've all got to deal with the flesh under our own power. We're going to end up just like this man. We're going to end up out there with that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5 says. Walk by the Spirit. J.C. Ryle said there is more wickedness in all the hearts of man terrified. Never know. Folks, but they're there. Things in our hearts today that we, but there's a lot terrified to know here for us to see. We see how wicked a man can become. A man among the fellowship. It's bad enough that things like that go on out in the world. But when it's going on in here, it's bad. It's bad. Here we see the wicked man. We see and the wickedness. Folks, everyone in his heart about the business of walking. We see his unwilling. Folks, every one of us, if we don't, guess what we're going to do? We're going to fall. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. But we find a church here that's unwilling to deal with such a man. Why do we do this? And I'll finish. That his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Can I ask you something? What's a soul worth? Flesh cannot. What's a soul worth? Flesh cannot be trained. Somebody wrote that the flesh improved upon. Cannot be reconciled to a holy God. So ask yourselves, what's more important, the flesh or the spirit? Folks, if we send one out, in order that Satan may destroy his flesh, isn't that more important? What's the important thing? Which one lives forever? The day coming, folks. Church discipline. You know, I ask God, you know, hard thing, but it's a begin to pray about this Monday when Harold called me and I said, what am I going to preach? This kept coming up. And I said, I don't want to preach that. Not at a conference. And as the week went on, I begin to think, what better place to preach it? Because the brethren need to be, and we're going to be held accountable for it. We are his ambassadors to Christ. We don't need to be about the business of dragging Jesus' name through the mud. And we need, brothers, as much as possible, as much as we possibly can, to make sure that that doesn't happen. I love the church. I love. And I drug through the mud.